the show is entitled Tribute to the Skipper. And we have some esteemed guests this evening. We say good evening to Ambassador David Commishong, Barbados's ambassador to CARICOM and to the Association of Caribbean States. And we will have some other guests joining us shortly. Mr. Colin Spencer, a writer, singer, musician, politician, and a top sports person, so I'm told. And we will be joined by the Democratic Labour Party President, Dr. Ronnie Yearwood, as we say good evening to the host, Mr. Sluggy Dan. Good evening to you, Sluggy Dan.
Good evening, Beijing, Rhythm, and Rhyme, every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. live on VOB 92.9 FM, brought to you by Starcom Network, VOB, PIM, Got Talent. Lovely evening, Ollie. I'm up here in the freezing cold. It's soon time to come home. I put in some hard work for a couple of weeks, and then I'll be back on the road. Yesterday was my birthday. Thanks for all the birthday wishes. Thanks for all the birthday greetings. Thanks for all the help with the treatment for the eyes. As well, people, they really appreciate it. One more visit to go on Monday, then I'll be home, like I said. Thanks for donating as well to the first pay number, 246-236-3534. Everyone who donated and who continue to donate, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Today, though, we are celebrating Ollie and paying tribute to a great man, seeing a stalwart, seeing a legend, seeing an icon, seeing one of the greatest ever. Simply doesn't state how important this man is to our culture, to our country, to who we are, and to the direction our country is heading in, and to paths that we will be on forever, shaped because of this man. And today is his birthday, so I want to say a special happy birthday to the right excellent Errol Walton Barrow. Today we have some very, very special guests, Ollie, and it's a celebration, not a somber moment. It's a celebration, and we have some very, very special guests. And our first guest is here. First, Ollie, and I would like you to do the honors of introducing this special person to Barbados. And then let us have a conversation about the great, late, great Errol Walton Barrows.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, he is Barbados's ambassador to CARICOM and to the Association of Caribbean States. Ladies and gentlemen, Ambassador David Commishong. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. It's really a pleasure to be here. An honor and a pleasure to be commemorating and celebrating the birthday of the great man himself.
Yes, thanks for coming, sir. It's certainly my pleasure to be speaking with you here on Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, and welcome to the show. And hope it's not your first and last time. Certainly a minor brand of yours we can certainly use. But like you say, today we are celebrating the life of the great one. My first question to you, sir, and I'm taking you far back. I want to know your first ever memory that you can remember of Errol Walton Barrow. I want to know your first memory of ever hearing the name, of ever hearing him speak. Your first and earliest memory of him, what was it?
Well, you know, I knew the man personally.
Yes, that is why I asked, correct.
I would have met him for the first time personally in 1984.
Ooh.
As a young lawyer, and I actually had the honor and privilege of sometimes send me some of his files to go to court on his behalf, usually just to get an adjournment of the case. But I think that way of reaching out and making contact and developing a relationship. Of course, as a young lawyer, I mean, what greater honor than to stand up in a court of law and say that you're holding papers for Errol Barrow. But, you know, that the personal contact, but of course, I had heard and known about him much longer than that.
Yes.
I am the son of a Methodist minister of religion, and they move all around the Caribbean. So I happened to be born in St. Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved from St. Vincent to Trinidad, where I did my primary school, and then came to Barbados. So I came to Barbados in 1971, just after the election, the 1971 election.
Ooh.
So I was...
How old were you at the time, may I ask?
It was 11 and a half, close to 12 years.
That must be a unique experience.
Yes. But when I interacted with my young peers at the time, they were talking incessantly about Dipper the Skipper.
Yes.
I guess as children, having experienced the election and hearing Dipper the Skipper, so I was bemused. Who is this Dipper the Skipper? And it became clear in 1971 that this man was like a national hero back then to the people of Barbados. He was an extremely, I think in 1971, he was probably at the height of his political popularity, so that even children, even, you know, 11-year-olds and 13-year-olds, his name was constantly on their lips.
What do you think had them so captivated at such a young age?
Well, I think it was the whole of Barbados, to tell the truth, because if you look at the history, having taken Barbados into independence in 1966, Mr. Barrow, that is.
Yes.
You know, from some sections of the population, there was a lot of trepidation about going into independence under this leader, and that Barbados would regress to dictatorial actions and the country would be in peril. And it turned out to be the exact opposite. In fact, the country went forward by leaps and bounds after 1966. So much so that by the time the election came in 1971, it was virtually a no contest. His fame, he had done so well that he won a resounding victory in 1971. And, you know, the vagaries of politics. So at 1971, he's at his peak. It is almost as if he cannot be defeated. He will never lose office. And by 1976, he is lost and he's out of power. That's the vagaries of electoral politics. And, you know, he went through a difficult time in that 71 to 76 term. We had the oil crisis when the price of petroleum, you know, rose astronomically high, in spurring inflation, spurring, you know, all kinds of shortages in the shops and so forth. And I think by then, having been in power since 1961 for such a long period of time, obviously the stress began to tell. And coming up to the 1976 elections, he kind of lost it. The best way to put it, he lost it. He became very erratic. I mean, he was attacking everybody. I guess it was a result of the kind of pressure he had been under for such a long period of time and how difficult the times had become. And so he lost. He lost in 1976. He spent 10 years in opposition. And by the time he came back in 1986, I had joined his party. I joined the party in 1984. And he actually, you know, really embraced me. I mean, I was really embraced by the party. I was involved in the preparations for the 1986
election. How was he as a person? I know you said he lost it for a period, but how was he as a person during those trying years when he was in opposition, and from your interaction with him, how was he coping with being in opposition? And to your mind, what was his main focus while he was in opposition?
Well, I think he did well in opposition because this was a man who bestrode Barbados like a colossus, and was brought down in 1976, was humbled, lost that great position. I mean, he not just did he bestride Barbados, he bestrode the Caribbean. He was a giant. And for lesser men to go through that experience of being brought down, being, in a sense, humbled, lesser men would never have been able to make it back. But he really never lost his focus. He went on to do a lot of important work.
10 years is serious dedication to stay the course.
Right, and especially in his age range. So he would have lost power when he was 56 years old.
Yeah, and born in 1920.
And yeah, 56. And you know, he had done so much in his life. He had given so much that by his 50s, he was really in a sense an old man. You know, he died at the age of 67. Really, really, really burnt out, huh? Because he really gave so much to his country and so much to his people. So to be able to negotiate that 10-year period in opposition between the age of 66, and to prepare himself to launch a comeback, and what a comeback it was. In 1986, he won the election. He basically swept the polls, 24-3. At one point, it almost seemed as if they were going to win all the seats. But I don't think he really, I think he wanted an opposition, you know, and I think he kind of went out of his way to make sure that a few of the BLP members did come back in. And
why would you say that? That is a very, and you know, this is a powerful radio station. That's a very powerful statement to me.
That's my assessment of the behavior, right? That's my assessment.
Because so he did not support those three members, to your mind, as well as he should have.
Well, the three members, Henry Ford was always going to. It would have been difficult to beat Henry Ford. I mean, he had virtually a fortress constituency. But I think, Owen Arthur, he was a new boy on the block.
Yes.
And he had just
won. And young and vibrant.
Young and vibrant. But I mean, this is just my personal opinion. I think he put a little weight for David Simmons. That's the impression I had.
You don't have to. I guess I'm just being dangerous, and you know, Sluggy, I will pull you in all the time. Don't worry, I got you. I got you covered. I won't take you too deep. But he liked Owen Arthur for sure. That was not a secret. It was not a secret that he loved Owen Arthur for sure.
But Owen, you know, I guess Owen being a new kid on the block, having won his by-election,
yes,
it would have been difficult for him not to be returned. The people of St. Peter, he was very new to them. They had voted for him in the by-election, and it, you know, they were probably not likely to reject him so soon after accepting him in the by-election. But yes. I do know that it concerned him a bit that the signs were tending to show that perhaps we would win all the seats, and I do know that the impression he gave was that you know, he wouldn't quite want that result, you know.
Speaking about Barrow and that coming up is very interesting, especially being that this stage that we had with 230 loves and a by election lost, and we find ourselves now where something that Barrow sir, that you are saying that Barrow would not want to happen has happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people decide, huh? The people decide, and the decision of the people is final. If the people decide that based on what is before them, they wish to give one party all of the seats, so be it. That's the wisdom of the people. You know, nothing is given to a political party. You really have to earn it.
And I agree.
Yeah, but Miss, you know, I'm just trying to bring out the temper.
Well, yes, and the man is very interesting man.
He's a real Barbadian patriot, a real lover of his country, a real Democrat. Because I have heard the story from very high sources within the Democratic Labour Party that when they lost in 1976. One of the ministers was actually urging that they should not accept the election result, that they should dispute it, and they should impose a state of emergency, et cetera, and Mr. Barrow brushed that aside. You know, he would have none of it. So that's a measure of the kind of man he was. Very much committed to democracy, to fairness.
Yes,
to justice, to proper governance, and yes, a real Barbadian patriot and Caribbean patriot, in my estimation.
The next question I have for you, sir, is and this is a personal question I'm asking, and I thank you for allowing me to answer such personal questions too. But is there anything of Barrow, any part of him, any legacy of his, any idea of his, any ideology of his, that you personally make sure you try to push as much as possible?
Well, of course, the simple answer is Caribbean. The simple answer is Caribbean integration.
Yeah. Oh.
In to celebrate his centenary in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, we published a booklet on Mr. Barrow, entitled Right Excellent Errol Walton Barrow, Champion of the Caribbean Community.
Mm-hmm. And
I could think of no better tribute to make to him on his centenary than to focus on his contribution to Caribbean integration.
Yes,
because he was the quintessential Caribbean man. I mean, you do know that he spent the first 6 years of his life in the U.S. Virgin Islands. His father was actually born in St. Vincent. I mean, he's very much a Bajan, but just happened to be born in St. Vincent when his own father was serving as the warden of the prison in St. Vincent. Mm-hmm. Mr. Barrow had a real Caribbean connection, and when
you said the first 6 years of his life, you said he was born in the Virgin Islands.
He was born in St. Lucie, at the garden in St. Lucie, but immediately after his birth, his mother took him to the U.S. Virgin Islands to join his father, who was an Anglican priest, who had been transferred to the St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands. So,
nice.
Yeah, so the mother had remained in Barbados. The mother was pregnant at the time. She had remained in Barbados to give birth to her baby, Errol, in Barbados, and then immediately took the newborn child to join up with the father in the Virgin Islands.
So it was important to her that she born him here.
Well, it may have been dangerous to travel. Remember back then, you're talking 1920, you're talking sea voyages.
Yes.
It might be dangerous for a pregnant woman to travel on a sea voyage, you know?
Well, okay.
Whatever the reasons were, he was born here, but immediately migrated to the U.S. Virgin Islands and spent the first 6 years of his life. And then the family returned to Barbados. The family minus the father. That's another story. The father was deported from St. Croix because of his radicalism, and the father made his way to New York. And so, you know, the family underwent that period, that separation, when he was a very young child.
So
he was
a very young child.
Where his uncle, the Right Excellent Dr. Charles Duncan O'Neill, played a fatherly role in his upbringing. And so yes, El Barrow, the Caribbean man, when the Federation collapsed in 1962, it was Mr. Barrow. When Jamaica and Trinidad exited the Federation, leaving the remaining eight smaller territories, it was Mr. Barrow and Barbados that tried to pull those eight territories together in a new federation of the so-called Little Eight. And it's after close to 4 years of effort when he realized that, you know, it was not happening, it was not going to happen. It was only then that he decided to go into for Barbados to go into independence alone. But even before he took Barbados into independence alone, he had already proposed the establishment of something called CARIFTA, the Caribbean Free Trade Association. He had already gotten together with Forbes Burnham of Guyana, and they had already conceptualized this Caribbean Free Trade Association. And that association was then born in 1968. And then he helped that association to evolve into CARICOM, the Caribbean Community, by 1973. So his credentials, trying to save the idea of a federation, giving birth to CARIFTA, and evolving CARIFTA into CARICOM, a first class contribution to Caribbean.
So brilliant. And Ollie, we are learning so much today, and can be so thankful. Mr. Cominchon, Mr. David Cominchon is here with us today, Senior Ambassador, and we are extremely thankful. To ask you to don't go anywhere yet. We have Mr. Colin Spencer on the line. I understand from Ollie that he was able to get a hold of Colin Spencer, so Colin can share a few words and pay a tribute to Mr. Barrow as well. All we have, Colin, is that correct?
We do, sir. Good evening, Mr. Spencer. Oh, that.
Hi.
Good evening, buddy.
How are you doing, sir? Good evening. Good evening to you and
yes,
to Mr. Commission as well.
Ambassador. Yes, you have Mr. Commission with us. Yes, please. Yes, Colin. Colin, you're when you think of Mr. Barrow, I know the cliche everyone gave us is the education and free education, right? Which is of course, which helps charter almost everything. But when you think of Mr. Barrow, Colin, what is something else that you think of when you think of the man, Mr. Barrow? What did he mean to you?
Yeah, I think of a true statesman. A politician who came along in an era when it was obvious that politicians that people got into politics for the right reasons, and that they genuinely cared about people and the development slash progress of their country. Well, right across the Caribbean.
Nice.
Well, I became aware of Mr. Barrow at a very early age because here in Salter, St. George, where my parents' house is, in which I am currently sitting, as a matter of fact. This is four houses. This is on what people call, the official name is Charles. This is Charles Roe Road. This is the road that links between Charles Roe Bridge and Roberts Manufacturing, that junction, that lower street, Del Junction. So I grew up on that main road. This is where I currently am. But I became aware of Mr. Barrow because the Democratic Labour Party's, one of the Democratic Labour Party's main meetings in St. George, there wasn't North and South back then. But one of the main meetings was held in the veranda of the late Walter Price, who was nicknamed Wally. That's four houses away from where I'm sitting.
From where you raised up as a child.
Yes, so I can stay in the house. I would stay in the house and hear what they were saying at the meeting.
You heard all of those Barrow speeches, bro.
From very very early, very early age.
Question, right? When I heard when Ambassador Commission, he spoke about how even young children revered him when he speaks. So all of that certainly is true. It wasn't just a certain age group. You felt it as a child as well?
Yeah, plus he had, there are some people with voices that ring out. He had identifiable voice that would get into your conscience, get into your heart and your brain. So it was easy to identify, well, okay, this is Mr. Barrow speaking here. No, this is Cattle speaking. This is Frederick Smith speaking. That kind of voice. But he was a good speaker. He was a fluent speaker. He articulated his positions very well. So it was easy to get into Mr. Barrow's speeches. So I've known of him since I was a child.
Nice, Colin. Thank you so much. Another question I must ask you. I could also ask Mr. Commission this about Barrow in the trying years when he was not in power. Your recollection of him. And how do you remember him now from those times?
I unfortunately don't know a whole lot because when he was in opposition would have been between 76 and 86, and I went to see in 74.
Oh, you're getting to see the trying times.
No, I was gone. So I don't know.
And so you was out on the sea when he passed?
Lord have mercy. I believe so, you know. Because, well, between 74, the only year between 74 and 86 that I was on the island was 1977, the entire year when we were the resident band at Holiday Inn on the Richard Stowes, when he was in charge of entertainment there.
That was nice.
The only year. But then when the Democratic Labour Party won the 86 election, we were back on ships. And I remember going up to the... There were about a dozen Barbadians working on that ship. The SS Norway, that was formerly the SS France, that the Norwegian government had bought from the French government. We went to the radio station on the ship and made a call to Barbados. I called Cyril Walker, the late Cyril Walker, because he's related to me as well. So we made that call, you know. But I would not have been around for the years in opposition. So So I can't really speak to that.
So what, to your mind, Colin, what is something about Barrow that you would like to see us push a lot more?
The continuation or a greater embrace of his vision for the Caribbean. Huh? We travel around the Caribbean is really it's not good. It's costly. It's inefficient. It is moving from territory to territory. To work has a lot of there are a lot of stumbling blocks in the way. I would like to see greater freedom of movement for all categories of worker. But I would not like to see movement that impacts on individual islands. Population growth. I would not like to see that, because population growth impacts on your healthcare, your education, housing, and several areas of your national development. But freedom of movement, like why couldn't I get on a plane a Thursday evening or Friday morning and go to St. Lucia to do a Friday and Saturday night at a hotel in St. Lucia, or two different hotels, fly back home Monday morning. That would be great. That really would be great.
Especially when it's when we are so close and the flights are so short.
Oh yes. We're so close to each other.
Yeah, no, I love that, and I can tell the truth. I heard the ambassador mentioned it. I know you alluded to that as well, the whole Caribbean integration and the free movement between us. I heard both of you all mentioned. But before today, to be honest, before today, it was a message that I really associated Barrow with strongly. You know, we hear that you associated that with, obviously, Owen and Mr. Arthur, because of my... Because of my age, obviously, born in the 80s, but no, to hear you all mention that that's something that he was passionate about,
it's quite eye opening, and
it makes me want to know if that is something that we should push far more to help see to help enhance another part of his legacy. Again, ask Mr. Komashong this now, sir. If I may, I would like to ask you, know that we have Colin here, and Colin mentioned that. How can we support Barrow's vision for that? And what can we do more to see this become a reality? Because I know it is a hard task. I know it is long. I know it is not simple, but it must be something that is beneficial to us if it's something that was so important to him. So what can we do to support his vision, and what more can we do to see this become a reality, sir?
Yes, Sluggy. Just before answering that question, I think I should point out that we were speaking about the difficulty of that 10-year period in opposition.
Yes, and please.
It should be noted that he did go through some trying times, because there was a move even within the Democratic Labour Party at one point to suggest that he was a spent force, that he was an old man.
Yes.
And the party
I've
should
heard that.
And I remember Branford Tate actually taking over the leadership of the party. And there was a suggestion that the Barrow's days were over, but he proved them wrong. he came back. He took back control of the party, and by 1986, I mean, he was a great father figure, a great national statesman. He delivered that classic speech, mirror image speech, as part of that 1986 election campaign. But he did go through serious challenges, even within his own party, right? But anyhow, in terms of your other question about carrying on the legacy.
Yes, please.
The easy answer to that is Mia Amor Motley. Mia Amor Motley, perhaps having the benefit of coming after Mr. Barrow, she has been able to build upon his legacy and to take forward his legacy. And what she is doing now, I mean, is really, you could hardly think of any part of the Barrow legacy that she is not taking forward and indeed attempting to take to even higher heights. So I, as ambassador to CARICOM, I have had a front row seat over the last 4.5 years as to the electrifying, galvanizing effect that she has had on the regional integration movement, you know. It's a pity that COVID came along and COVID caused a little pause in a number of the initiatives. But things that she is doing now, I mean, pioneering things like the agriculture production, the food security, to reduce the regional food import bill by 25% by the year 2025, really pushing for the CARICOM Skills National program and to add additional categories of skilled nationals who are permitted to move. So for example, they've pushed for agricultural workers, private security officers, pushed to get household domestics operationalized and so forth. So I would say that Prime Minister Motley is in a sense a real child of Errol Barrow and represents really the best of his legacy. And I think she's building upon it and doing a very, very remarkable job.
Awesome. Awesome. I love the answer. I've spoken in true form and salutes to the Prime Minister. And you said in your opinion, she's carrying on the vision and the legacy of Barrow. And if that is indeed true, it must be quite admirable, being that they come from two different parties and she's still striving to carry on a legacy. So that must be admirable. So salutes to her.
She was close to him. I mean, she would refer to him as Uncle Errol. So, you know, even though we have these party political divides, the fact is that Barbados is a very cohesive society. And you have relationships. that transcend
David
political divisions.
I know, listen, Colin, I know you would say that. When you hear that, Colin, when you hear that, what are your thoughts?
Pardon me? When
yes. When you hear that the relationship between our Prime Minister and Mr. Barrow and the legacy being carried on.
Oh yes, I was very much became aware of through other people that she was very close to Mr. Barrow. That's information that I would have heard.
Yes, I've heard. Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
You know, we all, regardless of party affiliation, we all want good for our country, the best for our country. We want to see our country progress, you know. We want to see equality, that type of thing. So, you know, regardless of what party you're in, I personally, and most of us, we want the best for our country. We expect and hope that our leaders will do well, they will do good by our people. We don't do good by our people. Yeah, yeah, to do good by our people.
Yes.
That is always our desire. We are a decent people. That's what we are.
Yes. Well, I'm calling it is so great to hear you say that. And of course, you know, I always answer these questions because I value your thoughts and opinions. That's why I ask you to come on the show so regularly.
Because I see
you as someone who speaks it how you honestly see it. And the reason why you bring or your aunt's come ashore because he's someone that's quite knowledgeable and I appreciate his knowledge. But I also know that you are a person that will give your honest perspective. You understand? And I trusted that I could have done it in a way, Ollie and I, that we can get the best tribute from varying views, but reflecting a man who stood for the same thing in everyone's mind. So it was fitting that the things Mr. Commission mentioned while you were on your way there, the things that you mentioned also coincide. And then you all both speak about the relationships you have on both sides and carrying on legacies, calling that. Carrying on legacies that we cannot afford to let die. And that is part of my wish and my mission. I believe there are certain things, and I know you too. There are certain things, certain morals. There are certain parts of our culture. There are certain values and morals within our culture that we must carry on.
Yeah,
we must.
Very important.
We must enforce. Right. I mean, you see, and I know it is important to you, but I now know you a little deeper hearing that you heard speeches from such a great man
I'm sensing that maybe we're coming close to the end, but
don't worry about that
since both of you are entertainers. You guys know that Mr. Barrow had a special relationship with the great Nina Simone.
I heard of that.
What? Wait, man, listen, man. Yeah, calling and Mr. I almost call you David, man. Mr. Commission, Ambassador Sir, and calling. You're all holding out on me, man. Listen, Mr. Commission, don't move. Ollie, let me know what time we have to close off. Introduce our next guest, please. Let's get his thoughts, because if we're being honest, we can't have a tribute and do not hear the thoughts of this next person on this awesome man's birthday. Ollie.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, well, Sluggy, I'll let you know we can go up to about 10 minutes before 8 this evening. It is a very special program.
Yes, so don't panic, Mr. Commission. You see, we get extra time, and that's one of the good things I love.
To go out.
Yes, no problem. No, colleague. We will not hold you long. We will let you go.
Right.
Introduce our next guest,
yes,
Ollie.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed a pleasure and honor to introduce to you the president of the Democratic Labour Party, Dr. Ronnie Yearwood. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Ollie. Good evening, Sluggy. How are you guys doing on this Arabara Day?
I'm great, man. I'm good. I'm alive and well. And we pay tribute and pushing and continuing the legacy. I saw you had some events to celebrate Mr. Barrow. Can you share a little on the events that you had to celebrate him, please?
Yeah, not a problem. We had our centerpiece event last night, which was the Errol Barrow Memorial Lecture, and it was so interesting. Just catching the tail end of your conversation with David, Ambassador Commissaire, and Colin Spencer.
Colin. Yes,
yeah, because you were talking about Caribbean integration. And actually, that was the theme of last night's lecture, our Barrow Champion of CARICOM, where the Prime Minister of St. Lucia reflected on our Barrow's philosophies in the formation of CARICOM, and looking at the next 50 years of CARICOM, because I don't know if you know that CARICOM celebrates 50 years this year. UE Cave Hill, which Borough formed, celebrates 60 years this year. So two pivotal institutions that El Borough created are reaching milestone celebrations this year. So Borough's contribution, you know, people rightly, as you already said, often associated with free education or school meals, but his contribution was wider than Barbados, yes, in terms of that he wanted development of the whole Caribbean, because he thought if we could develop the entire Caribbean as an integrated space, then each country will benefit. So we're all kind of lifted up, because his focus wasn't only on Barbados. So his phenomenal, phenomenal contribution to CARICOM. Actually, just to share a little insight, when in 1965, before the modern CARICOM as we knew it was formed, Borough wrote a letter to the then Prime Minister, Guyana Burnham, and said, why don't me and you get together and form a free trade area, and then anybody else that wants to join can come later, but we just can't sit around waiting to do nothing.
Because yeah, David,
I want to do the job.
Yes, so it seems like we certainly have a legacy and things to carry on, no matter what side we are on, because Mr. Commerchon, if I'm not mistaken, that is something he was speaking to as well, that Borough started. So it seems as though, yep, that is a very important piece of history and his legacy that we need more education on.
Yeah. When we think about El Borough, and I think sometimes in Barbados,
our thinking need to be broader.
Yeah, we downplay people's contribution because Barbadians are typically a very humble, you know, you do things, you don't talk about them. You just get on doing them. And you don't do it.
But when we unpack, boss.
Yeah, exactly. When we unpack the legacy of El Borough, I would dare say that El Borough is probably one of the greatest statesmen, not of Barbados, of the entire Caribbean. Because without El Borough, when you really drill down deep, there would be no CARICOM. There wouldn't be Caribbean integration even as we understand it. You know, we often associate the integration movement, as you said, with Oinafer. But Oinafer was not beginning anything. Oinafer was simply building on what El Borough created at the beginning with CARICOM. You know, before El Borough, there wouldn't be a University of the West Indies, Cave Hill, and the idea of expansion, not just for Barbados, because remember, Cave Hill does not just serve Barbados. Cave Hill serves the entire region, because at that point, Cave Hill is serving St. Lucia, St. Vincent. So we're serving a broad spectrum. So this wasn't only, again, he's never only thinking about Barbados. He's always thinking about the Caribbean. He was a penultimate Caribbean citizen. And in some ways, he saw himself as Barbadian, yes. But he also saw himself as a Caribbean man in its truest sense and form. I don't know if you know the story of how Cave Hill campus was selected. Borough literally got in his plane because he was a pilot, flew over Barbados, and Singer chose the spot for Cave Hill. This is the kind of prime minister. I don't know if we would ever see a prime minister of his kind. I always say, I don't think there's anything that El Borough did not do. World War II hero, fighter pilot, sailor, fisherman, chef, dancer, man of letters, lawyer, economist, I politician, you horseback rider, like gardener, like I cannot list anything to think that he did not do. And in some ways, he set the bar so high for what a leader in this country should be, and not a prime minister. Because last night, when I reflected on his legacy at the lecture, there's something he says that's phenomenal. He said, I didn't start to be a prime minister. He said, I didn't want to be a prime minister. I started out because I wanted to integrate the Caribbean. And along the way, I became a prime minister. And he says, you know, advice to all the political aspirants. People always put up their hand, I want to be prime minister. I want to be this. I want to be this. No. You focus on the goal of what you want for your purpose, basically. And his purpose was Caribbean integration. He really was a Caribbean man at heart. And I am so pleased that you are on this show, you're recognizing that aspect of his philosophy and his legacy and what he gave. Because he not only gave his life for Barbados, He gave it for the entire Caribbean. And last night we had a chance for the Prime Minister of St. Lucia to reflect on that legacy, and not only reflect, but talk about the way forward for Caribbean integration.
No, that is simply brilliant, Dr. Yearwood. Being by you in a unique seat, all they want you to tune up a song, please, and pay a tribute to Mr. Barrow, and then they can get callings for, you know, where called callings. So you have to go on calling, right?
Yes.
Go ahead and get your final words. My brother just want to say before you go, I know you can bug you in bathing terms. You know you can bug you, but you don't say no to me. You don't feel
no,
me.
I would.
You know you're doing this because the youth, for whatever reason they don't know, it's not all this all the time. But the youth look up to me and love me. So the reason they call on you all guys is because I don't know. And I admit when I don't know, but I can ask who I believe would know. So thank you for always answering the call, my brother. I appreciate you.
I appreciate it. And I, for the benefit of your listeners, I am not talking about St. George's Parish Church Square tonight. Thank you.
best choir in the world, man.
Thank you for having me. But I just before I go on the issue of you know, people, these relationships on both sides of the political divide, I just want to tell you that it's easier for me to reach the Attorney General than to reach you, Sluggy Man.
Oh, nice.
I'm serious. All right. To you and Mr. Commissioner and my party president, Mr. Yearwood, your words are comforting, and we want to see the Caribbean continue to progress, but especially in the areas of freedom of movement across the region. Thank you so very much for having me, and good evening, folks. Thank you.
Yes, please. Snuggie, before
you go to your song,
no problem, buddy.
Add one caveat to what Ronnie is saying.
Of course you can.
Ronnie, what we have to be careful about is subscribing to the great man theory of history. So while we lionize Mr. Barrow and give him all the credit that is due, we have to be careful not to ascribe all the achievements to him singularly. So for example, the achievement of CARICOM, we also have to factor in Prime Minister Forbes Burnham of Guyana, Prime Minister Dr. Eric Williams of Trinidad, and to a lesser extent, Prime Minister Michael Manley of Jamaica. In fact, the reason why the CARICOM Secretariat is in Guyana is because there was a feeling that Prime Minister Burnham had really done so much to try to carry forward the vision that they wanted to pay that tribute to him by putting the secretariat in Georgetown. But yes, I mean, as I said, you would have missed my opening comments, but Mr. Barrow is the link between trying to save the Federation of the Little Eight to the creation of CARIFTA, to the evolution of CARIFTA to CARICOM. So he is, you know, he is a seminal figure, a very pivotal figure, but we just have to be careful to give other architects their due as well.
I agree with that, Ambassador, but
oh, yeah,
you know, I think it's still important to understand that in some ways, you know, there's always that one person that kind of catches the fire or lights the fire for the others. And obviously it's not only his work. So yeah, we would be careful not to ascribe great man or great women theories to anybody, really, but we recognize the special efforts of certain individuals, especially individuals that never wanted to be in that position. It's very interesting. We often forget that Mr. Barrow didn't push himself forward really as wanting to be a prime minister. He never dreamed about it. It was anybody like, I was a boy and I want, he, and when you read his speeches, he makes that clear. He's like, you know, I just was out doing what I was doing.
Funny that, incidentally, that speech, right? That speech, that's a speech she gave in
1973.
On the signing, the signing of the Treaty of Shagarama. So I produced a booklet in 2020 in celebration.
Yes, I have a copy of that.
Yes,
I have a copy of your book.
In fact, I personally took copies to the DLP headquarters back in 2020. But what I want to say is it is also available in an electronic format.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who is interested in at least getting an e-copy of it, you know, I can be reached at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I'd be happy to give any Barbadian, because it contains two very important speeches. It contains that speech that Ronnie is referring to, the speech on the signing of the Treaty of Shagaramus, and it also contains perhaps the single most brilliant Caribbean integration speech, the speech that he gave in 1986 at the CARICOM Heads of Government Conference, right after he had won back the government in 86, the speech he gave in Georgetown. Brilliant, brilliant speech, and that is required reading for every citizen of the Caribbean. So I'd be happy to make the e-copy available to anyone who contacts me at Foreign Affairs.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. David, thanks for that. Ronnie, thanks for that. Please don't move. Ollie, thanks for holding down inside. I just take a few more words from the gentleman, but I think it would be quite fitting. Listeners, thank you so much. If you want to call in and say anything at all about Mr. Barrow, even if it's just happy birthday.
We do have a caller when you're ready, Sluggy.
Oh my gosh, okay. But let's formalities. 434-1790. 434-1790. If you want to say anything at all, give us a call and have a conversation with Uncle Sluggy. Dr. Ronnie here with an ambassador, David Comachon. Good evening. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Good evening to all out there, and blessed Errol Barrow there to one and all.
Yes.
Good evening, Comrade yes. President, and good evening, Mr. Comachon.
Yes.
Yeah. And good evening also to all Democratic people. This is a special day, and he is a special person, and he will always remain a special person in our lives. And we are here to talk about the great man, his great speeches, and to my mind, one of his better speeches also would be the Mirror Image speech, which would have been the last speech that he penned before his death. And I want to say something to Mr. Commissioner. Now, I heard his comments which prompted me to call. Now, Mr. Commissioner said, let's be careful not to overdo it, to use a phrase, when we talk about greatness and a great man. I don't think, Mr. Commissioner, it's overdoing. When we have accolades put on other people, and then you will have other people saying that they want particular people to be PMs for the rest of their life. I think that's really overdoing it. Now, Mr. Barrow, if you should remember this as a former comrade. Mr. Barrow said that he said that he don't want no bearing of no images of him nowhere around. But the late Owen Seymour Arthur found it fitting to put it. Barrow was never that kind of man. He was always a very humble person. He was a man of the people. Right. Whenever you can go by his house, you can go out, whatever, you see him visibly any and everywhere, you know. And despite the many accolades and everything that he had, he never acted that way. He acted like a normal fella down the street. So, I mean, if people want to admonish him for what he has done, and I encourage Comrade President and all others to continue in this vein, whilst particular corners of the island, it would appear, want to wipe the memory, the great achievements of this great party that I am proud to be a part of. So I just just had to put that to you, Commissioner. When you're saying one thing, just let's not forget. You're saying don't do this, or this great man thing, and as Comrade President would have said to you, let's not be careful in doing this great woman thing either, because that's what's currently happening, and people are not sticking on that. So with that, I will tell everyone, continue to preach the achievement, and let's have a continued blessed day. Let's push it forward.
Thank you, sir. Have a beautiful night.
Yes. Good evening. Welcome to BJ Rhythm and Rhyme. I love Barbados. Let's go. You have another caller, Ollie? Good. Another caller, Ollie?
Oh, dear. Unfortunately, they're gone. If you're listening, please give us a call back. We had two callers, so please give us a call back. We'd love to chat.
That's no problem. They will call back. 434-1790. 434-1790. Ollie, before we play the tune, I will ask two questions, and then we will play the tune and tell the caller. You got the caller there yet, Ollie? Before we go on, let's be mannerly. Let's take the call first. Good evening, welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. Uncle Sluggy, Ambassador Commissioner, and Dr. Ronnie Everett is also here. Let's go.
Good evening, gentlemen. Hello?
Good evening. Good evening. We are all here.
I've got to be careful. All these gentlemen. I noticed y'all left out ladies. Anyhow, I think you missed one of the names in speaking about Mr. Barron, the regional thing. I didn't hear you say anything about Mr. Bird. There were the three B's. Bird from Antigua, thing from Guyana, Burnham, and Mr. Barron.
Barbados.
The three B's.
Yes. Yes.
You missed the bird. He was trying to cut down a flight or something.
It's true. You are correct, and I'm sure Mr. Yearwood and Commissioner would admit we accept you telling us. We love it.
Thank you
we
so
have
much.
No problem with it.
Just to make the point that it really started with the two B's, Barrow and Burnham.
Yep. And Burnham.
The bird was added subsequently. So it's not that we forgot Mr. Bird, but we were just focusing on the very genesis of Corifta, which started with, as Ronnie said, and read it in the speech, Mr. Barrow writing to Mr. Burnham, inviting him to come to Barbados, the two of them meeting in Barbados, and determining to establish a free trade area. And then, of course, Mr. Bird was brought into the conversation subsequently. But that's the point. That's a point that it's never just one person, you know? It's we have to acknowledge all who made significant contributions.
Yes, indeed. I love it. Colin, may I ask where you're calling from, please?
I am calling from Rockburn the Park. And
yeah, nice.
And my regret is that I was never able to have the competition, the cook-off with Mr. Barrow that he challenged me to when we went down to the butcher, where we were at the butcher's shop. he always wanted to know if I could really cook.
and he challenged you to cook-off?
Yes. He said you can really cook down at the butcher's shop on the corner. Okay,
he was serious. Barrow was a cook too. He was serious about this cook-off.
You think if he was a cook, he was a barrow.
He was he was brilliant. Brilliant.
A cookbook he has out.
Yeah, man. Ollie, this caller here is schooling me this evening. Man, I didn't know Barrow was a cook and challenging people to cook and thing, man.
He has a master cook. If you ever taste his hand, you will realize. But you're talking to an 83-year-old woman, you see?
Yes, and I love it. I love you, Karma. Mr. Commissioner, that's another thing we can, another feather we can add to the cap of the great man in tribute we have paid. Mr. Barrow believe in his cooking skills so much that he would challenge females who cook, man. This speaks to the confidence of a man, boy. This is a man that was real confident.
He wrote a cookbook called Privilege. But getting back to the song you're going to play, right? I'm not sure what song you're going to play, but I want to leave this with you. Nina Simone brought out an album in the 1990s entitled A Single Woman. Find the album and look for a song on the album called The Forks on the Hill. She gives a spoken word introduction to that song. And in that spoken word introduction, you will hear her speaking about her dear friend, the Prime Minister of Barbados, Errol Barrow, and what his death meant to her, and how his death actually was actually a catalytic event. That
The Forks on the Hill. Look for that on YouTube, Ollie. The Forks on the Hill, Nina Simone. I'm sure you'll find that on YouTube.
Ignite her career. Yeah, Nina Simone, his very, very dear friend, you know. And she used to come to Barbados in the 1970s. She actually lived for quite some time in Barbados, a very special friend of Errol Walton Barrow. Read her biography, and you. I don't want to say too much, but it's all in her biography. I put a spell on you, her relationship with Mr. Barrow.
A man
of many parts.
It's certainly interesting. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much about Mr. Barrow. Read Sleepy Smith's book. Sleepy Smith's book will tell you about Mr. Barrow giving Fidel Castro and the Cubans permission to land the planes that were on their way carrying troops from Cuba to Angola in 1975 and 76 to help the Angolans defend their independence and to fight back the armies of racist white apartheid South Africa at the time. And Mr. Barrow secretly gave the Cubans permission to land in, because they needed to refuel. The journey from Cuba to Angola was too long. They had to find a place to land and refuel. And Mr. Barrow, he didn't even inform his cabinet. He did it secretly. And of course, when the Americans found out, as they eventually did, they made a stink and put pressure on Barbados, and Mr. Barrow had to withdraw the permission. But by then, a significant number of flights had already been made, taking these Cuban troops into Angola. And eventually, the Cubans and the Angolans were successful in defending the nation and in Seoul, inflicting such a defeat on racist South Africa that it led ultimately to the freedom of Nelson Mandela and the freedom of South Africa. In fact, very soon before he died, we were planning, and the idea came from him. He invited Oliver Tambo of the African National Congress. Remember, this is at the height of the battle against apartheid.
Yes.
Still in prison. Oliver Tambo is the leader of the ANC in exile. And he invited Tambo to Barbados. And I was in the planning meeting with Mr. Barrow where he gleefully said, look, we're going to have a meeting for him in Independence Square. And we're going to let him talk to the whole of Barbados. You know, unfortunately, he passed soon after that. And the Prime Minister Sandiford canceled the Tambo visit. But, you know, I just want to, these are some aspects of the man that may not be very well known.
That is so correct, sir, because I'm sure a lot of many people would have been hearing these things today for the first time. That would be no better person than the two of you. All of you, do we have more callers? I know a lot of people was trying to call in because my phone was going crazy. We have more callers.
Yes, Ollie. Good evening, ma'am. How are you today?
Good evening, I figured. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. Mr. Comishong and Dr. Yearwood is here. Ambassador Commission. Let's go.
Good evening, ma'am. Okay, we seem to have lost her. We
do have hello, another hello.
Call. Hi, good evening, sir.
Yeah. Good evening. I want to say first to everybody, good evening, but I also want to say, as a citizen of this country and as an ordinary person, it is, I wish that more people could tear a leaf out of a bar book. And it amazes me how the average man just want to kill his fellow brother for politicians and as a waiter at Paradise Beach. Where Urba have a house just down Paradise Hill in the gate where Paradise is catering for him all of his meals. The house in Kampala. And Commissioner will confirm that. And I remember one time, it was in January, obviously, Urba had a birthday party a week across the canopies, et cetera, et cetera. And the first body that arrived at that party was JMG Tom Adams. And I feel like a day. If you see all these two men playing up to one another, hug up one another, oh, Tom, hug up he, like they don't want to let go at no time. And they said, this is called love to compare with
hello, Tom. Hello, hello. They see the girls in your local,
but
they just come
dressing
on
happy.
They just come.
Well, you know, Snuggy. Yeah. Let me share something.
Yes, please. Hello. Yes, please.
You know, there's actually a family connection between the Barrows and the Adamses.
Really?
Yes, yes. Errol Barrows, Errol Barrows' grandmother.
Listen, we're talking about two party leaders already.
No, his grandmother on his father's side was an Adams. She was an Adams who married a Barrow to produce Errol's father, Reginald Grant Barrow. So if you go back far enough, there is a family connection. So yeah, you know, as I said, we are a small community. And
what I'm saying though, Mr. Commissioner, is today's world, everybody's want to be killing everybody for thing. And the second thing about the 70s were no paradise. I remember, I sometimes do not even remember my vehicle's numbers. And I remember 1003 all the time. That big old Mercy Benz, M1003, which was our bar car. And we used to work split shift. Go work from 7 in the morning, I work till about 10:30, and go back evening to do dinner. And we used to see around 11 o'clock or so, about 12, 15 boys atop the hill at Ibaspol going to town. That know that work that they return the evening. And the skipper would never drive past that bus pole, and he don't hold up that they can't carry no more. 4 men in the front and 5 in the back. And he talk to you on the way to town and tell you, enjoy your day. Don't get into trouble. You know, that is what you call love and sincerity and thing. People will always love you. And I remember that. That is stay with me.
Well, thank you so much, sir. All the best to you. Have a good evening. We have one more call on the line. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Norbert, to you and Slaggy. Slaggy, good evening to you and your guest, Ambassador Commission.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Good evening. I would like to say something about that get song's 40, but it's so true because I was there the night. Albar used to come with, like the gentleman just said, with his big, like, yellow car, Mercedes Mar M1003. I reverse it by a man named Watkins that used to keep a shop down Deacon's Road. And when Albar parked his car in the ledge right there, he would come out the car with a box. And he would go in at Watkins' shop. I left all of his youngsters on the steps saying, now, this is the early 70s. He would leave us on the steps saying, now, after speaking with us, and go in and get his groceries like anybody else. 5 pounds of sugar, pint of lard, oil, like everybody else. But I want this particular Saturday night, now, we was on the step after he went in. And then about 5 minutes after we out on the step, I hear this big noise in the shop. And when we gone, I'm peeping now as youngsters, we gone and peeping. Albar, he didn't make a noise with Watkins because Watkins sell all the pictures they left back now for him. And that is as true as John 3:16. And I remember another night he came down, and we were youngsters fresh out of school, but I was down the harbor. I went down the harbor working. And the fellas negotiated with Mr. Barr for some work. And Barr tell him, Monday morning, I want all of y'all to come up by Colonel Farm, and they can get one to sort out with some work and thing. And we agree. By the morning now, when we were supposed to meet by the shop stead to catch the bus to go up by Colonel Farm, nobody had turned up. And you know, the next Saturday night when I walked it, when Barr came down, nobody was up on the step because all it was shame. But I sat out.
I think we've lost him, sir. Please give us a call back.
No problem. We have another caller, Ollie. Or we can go ahead.
We can go ahead until the caller calls back, Slugs.
Okay. No problem. And we will leave all the music, everything for the at the end. Ollie, we have my brethren Bubbler coming in. Okay, good. So at the end, we'll leave all the music and the tributes for the end. And I will like Mr. Commission to mention that song again so you can look for it. Commission, can you tell us the spoken word tribute?
Well, the spoken word is just the introduction to the song. But the name of the song is The Folks on the Hill. It's on the album titled A Single Woman. That was her comeback album. She had gone through a very low period. And she said it was the death of... When she heard about that her dear friend had died, that is what penetrated her consciousness and motivated her to, in a sense, get back in the saddle and to record again, you know? And that album became a very big seller internationally, A Single Woman.
Sluggy, I must tell you, this show is extremely popular tonight. We've even had some requests for a repeat of this particular show. We do have the caller back as we say good evening. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Welcome back.
Yeah, I was closing Sluggy by saying that the next Saturday night when Abba came
Yes.
on the step was me. Because the other fellow was too embarrassed not to have been on the step. Saying that Abba had invited them to come to Caloran Farm. I said, Skipper, the boys didn't come because of the Hannah bus fare. Arbar took out $20 and give me and tell me when they're ready to go bus fare. And some of them went and get work and some of them didn't go. So that was the nature of demand. And I always remember.
Lord, man.
Huh?
I love these stories.
Yeah, and I always remember, Sluggy, if there's one thing, and there's so much other things that I remember with Arbar, but if there's one thing, I remember.
Yes.
Is the night he was making noisy Watkins because Watkins sell all the pigtails. And then that night we was just as Johnson peeping in to see what's going on.
Yes.
And Albert's a man that used to go down Brandon by the Coconut Grove Dance Club. I don't know if David Commission would know that place because he's old enough to know down there. You know the Coconut Grove Ambassador Commission?
I can't say that I do in Brandon's.
It's owned by a man named Joseph Pyle.
Okay.
That Alba and him was good friends. And as the story goes, they say that Joseph Pyle couldn't even ride a bicycle, but he had even a license to fly an airplane. He had motorcycle license, car license, truck, bus. I couldn't even ride a bicycle. The people said Albert, he was so good that Albert said he had to get all these luxuries and things. But that was just, I believe that was just a part of the Albert folklore. But Albert.
No, yeah, I'm right. Man. Yeah, that's all. You
my
know,
brother, my brother, I got to thank you so much for calling us, Sluggy. I hate to do it, but we got to wrap up, my brother.
Okay, no problem. And once you're a powerful figure, you know, stories will always be a part of your day. But all in all, it's a celebration of a great man. Ronnie, your parting words and what you would love to share with Barbados. And then it will go to Mr. Commission and Ollie. It will be over to you after. This is Sluggy Dan, Uncle Sluggy. Thank you, Barbados, for all the love and support. I'm out.
All right. I just think we have to remember that Barry was the original social justice warrior. So whenever we think about social justice and we think about how we can propel Barbados and extend rights and development and give people chances and opportunities to empower them, really, it started with El Barro, the genesis of modern Barbados as we know it, the DNA of this country, lies with this man. And we have to respect, understand that history, and then we would understand how we build the new Barbados that we all want to build and we all want to share in.
I would say to Barbadians, I want us to make better and more use of El Barro Day. I mean, me personally, I spent today on social media sending out my top 10 El Barro quotes and sending out a copy of his Friends of All Satellites of None speech at the UN in December 1966, visiting Independence Square, just loving the new, polished, beautiful statue of Errol Barrow, going to the BLP event at the Botanical Gardens and so forth. But I just want Bajans to embrace this day more. Let us make full use of this national holiday. And let us use it in a way, you know, to bring the man to life, to introduce him to the young generation, because this man is one of the cornerstones of our nation. Of course, there are others. There's never only one, but this is one of the cornerstones of our nation. And we would be doing ourselves a disservice if we did not delve deeply into the example of his life and the brilliant ideas and principles that he exemplified. Thank you, Sluggy. It's been a pleasure being on your program.
Another great one, Ollie, as usual. Ollie, awesome work, holding it down for me, as usual, my brother. I appreciate you. Ambassador Commission, Dr. Ronnie Erwood, I appreciate you guys for sharing your time with me and educating me on the life and the legacy of Errol Walton Barrow, the right, excellent Errol Walton Barrow. This is your boy, Uncle Sluggy. Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Brought to you by VOB 92.9 Starcom Network and BIM Got Talent. Over to you, Ollie. I'm out.